Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to 2 Peter. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 2. And I'm going to share tonight on togetherness, and then with little parentheses, in light of moving the word. Togetherness, in light of moving the word. And 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So, how does godly favor and peace get multiplied in someone's life?
Through the knowledge of the Word,
right? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we have all things that pertain unto life, and that life there is Zoe, life in all of its manifestations. So we have, he's given us all things that pertain to all aspects of life and godliness through something. And again, that's through a knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So through a knowledge of God, we have everything that we would need in this life. Everything that we need to understand in this life and all of its manifestations. And that comes via the Word of God. In verse 4, whereby, that word of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So it's through the word that we have these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right? And so that word contains incredibly precious promises that we as believers get to take part in, right? We get to take part in, and we get to escape the corruption, the stuff that stinks in this world, because we know God's word. That's what provides an escape for us. That's what provides an out for us. And partakers literally means to take part in, and it's a form of fellowship. It's a form of togetherness, because we share in it together. And in this case, we share in Holy Spirit, right? That divine nature. That divine nature. Holy Spirit. It's what connects us to God, right? Holy Spirit is what gives you a connection to God. Without it, you don't have a direct connection to God. But it's what gives us a direct connection to God, and it's what makes us all part of the same family, right? So what people really need is to know this word of God, because look what it does for someone's life, right? Godly favor and peace are multiplied onto them. They gain a knowledge of all the incredibly precious promises that are in God's word. And they understand how to get born again and become connected to God and a part of this family, right? So the word is really, really important. People need to hear about God and his word and how much he loves them. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. It's what provides the way out of the corruption that's in this world, right? It's what provides a way out and escape from all the stuff that drags people down, right? And on a grand scale, if we think about the corruption in this world as like our bodies will eventually corrupt, it provides an escape even from that, from death, because we have eternal life. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that phrase, has begotten us again, means rebirthed us, right? Begotten us again. If you are begotten of someone, you are born of them, right? And if we are begotten again, then we are born again, right? So, according to his abundant mercy, he's made it available for us to be born again. And we've been born again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for anybody who believes, right? And so one of the things that we share in all together is that we have the same final destination, right? We have the same hope of Christ's return, of an eternity with God, right? Of eternal life together, right? We all have that. We can all share in that together. And it's the goal that we should have for the people that we share the word with, right? We want to get them born again too. We want to make sure that we see them again at the gathering, right? That should be the reason we speak the word to people, is to get them delivered, to get them born again so they can share in that as well. That we can all fellowship together in that hope. Go to 1 John chapter 1. God set this up in a really cool way that we all get the same benefits, right? We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same promises available to us in God's Word. And we can share in that together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard, the stuff that they witnessed and learned about, from Jesus Christ himself, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So they told him about it, right? The stuff that they learned from Jesus Christ, the stuff that they saw after he was ascended, and what they knew about being born again and what was available, the miracles that they did in the book of Acts, all of that stuff. That's what they declared unto them. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with who? The Father, with God, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things, the stuff that they declared unto them, write we unto you, that your joy may be pretty decent, moderately temperate. No, that it may be full, that it might be full. Right, so we share the word with people so that we have more brothers and sisters to fellowship with. Right, the things they declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, that they're brought into the fold, that they're part of the same family of God. And they wrote those things so that their joy could be full. Right, we should put our whole selves into fellowship and into witnessing and getting other people born again. And a great benefit of it is that we'll have fullness of joy. We'll have fullness of joy. Right? If we ever feel like we're stuck in a rut or things aren't really, you know, humming along for us, and we're kind of feeling down, one of the ways that we can find joy is telling everybody we can about who God is. Because A, it's what God wants us to do, and B, it reminds us, oh yeah, that's who God is. And look at all the cool stuff he's done for me, right? And all of that is fullness of joy. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Right, so we fellowship with God, we fellowship with each other, and we move the word, and we have fullness of joy. Fullness, not just a mediocre amount, but a fullness of joy. Matthew 22, verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Right? And the first and great commandment is to love. And it's to love God. And it's to love God with everything that you have. And the second, verse 39, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the second one is also to love. And it's to love each other. It's to love each other. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Right? And so love is instrumental in fellowshipping together and in moving the word. Right? It has to be the motivation for it. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, right? If you're going to fellowship with the family and you're going to move the word to other people who need to hear it, it has to be with love. It has to be with love. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. It's got to be the motivation for it. And God gave us the blueprint in the grace administration in Acts for how this gets done, for how we're to stand together, for how we're to fellowship together, and how it can move the word when we do. So we're going to look at that in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And what I want you to notice throughout this is how often they are together. Count how many times somebody does something alone. Okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 13. It says, And when they, speaking of the apostles, were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. So this is just prior to the day of Pentecost, right? They had seen Jesus Christ ascend up, and they knew that the day was near or at hand. And just prior to the day of Pentecost, these guys abode together. They stayed together. They ate together. They prayed together. And they worked together, right? They were together. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in what? One place. They were not scattered all throughout Jerusalem. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad and the multitude came to, or when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, right? And so when the day did come, they were together. They were unified in their mindset. They all received the promise together. They all manifested together for the very first time. This was God's, you know, opening of this administration, was this outpouring of Holy Spirit to these men. And they were together. And the people got to hear them speak this way in their own tongues, in their own languages. Jump down to verse 11. It says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Right? So they heard these guys speak in their languages. And they were all amazed. The people were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What is the meaning of this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. So there are some people that were wondering, what does this mean? This is incredible. And there were other people that were making fun of them, right? They were mocking them. They were saying bad things about them. But Peter, standing up by himself, no. He stood up with who? The 11. They stood together, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. They stood together in the face of ridicule, right? And sometimes when we speak the word to people, we get really nervous or afraid of what they're going to think, right? What are they going to say about us, right? Are they going to think this is something dumb, right? And on the day of Pentecost, these guys were made fun of by some people, right? This was Holy Spirit manifesting power for the very first time, and they were mocked and ridiculed. Do you think the adversary wanted to see them succeed? No. And they had a choice to make. They could have been like, this is really uncomfortable and I don't want to be up here while everyone's making fun of me. Or they could do what they did and they stood together. They stood together. Peter did not stand up by himself. He was not alone. He had his brothers there to stand with him, right? They stood together. And that's part of the greatness of the body of Christ. We have people to stand together with us. To stand together with us. Verse 37. So Peter stands up and he lets him have it. We won't read all of it. But in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, when they heard Peter's reply, his sermon, what he taught them, they were pricked in their heart, right? They stood for God and they stood up and they said, you know, here's what it really means. Here's the importance of all this. Here's what Jesus Christ accomplished. And some of those people that mocked changed their minds. They were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, we hear you. What do we do now? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive, and that's lambano, the gift of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. They would receive it into manifestation. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So he preached the word to them, and they changed their minds, at least some of them did, right? And they were willing to hear Peter out, and they got born again. How do I know? Well, verse 41 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I mean, I would say that's a pretty successful day of witnessing, right? 3,000 people got to hear what Peter had to say and believed, right? And they received Holy Spirit. And then verse 42 goes on to say what happened next. And they continued steadfastly. So there were 3,000 people that heard the word that day that got born again. And those people, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what? Fellowship. They hung together. They were now all part of the same family. It made a huge impact in their lives. They fellowshiped together. And in breaking of bread, they ate together. And in prayers, they prayed together. And they continued steadfastly in it, which means they didn't quit on it, right? They continued to be together day in and day out. Verse 43, and fear or respect came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. right? Because these people believed God's word. The temperature of believing was so hot that the apostles were able to work those signs and wonders. And all that believed were together. They were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Right? And so they came together, they fellowshiped together, they ate together, they prayed together, and great signs and miracles and wonders were done because they stayed together, because they became this community of believers. And in this community of believers, they gave of their abundance to take care of people. Right? They didn't rely on a government to help them or to hand things out. They had one another to take care of the needs. There were some people that had an abundance and could provide for some of the people that didn't. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Right? So they continued daily, every day. And that singleness of heart means undivided loyalty. Undivided loyalty. That was the strength of their togetherness. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So following the day of Pentecost, this was the blueprint for how they were to be together. Right? That they were to do it on a daily basis, that they would eat together, fellowship together, worship together, pray together. And God just kept working in those situations. They were able to do many signs, miracles, and wonders. They were able to really move the word because there was a great respect and a great heat for it. And it was because they were together daily. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter all by himself went to the temple." No. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, 'Do you have anything to give me?' And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on me.'" No, look on us. They were in this together, right? They were in this together. "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." All the people saw it, right? They got to witness this. This guy was laid out there every single day. Every single day, people walked by him, and he said, "Do you have anything to give me?" And every single day, somebody said, "Probably not." And now they saw this guy walking and leaping and praising God. You think that's a witness? Yeah, it is. They saw something incredible. "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Right, so Peter and John were together performing this miracle, right? They were out together. They were with unity of purpose, right? They were fellowshipping one with another, just walking, right? Letting God work in the situation. But they were together. They had each other, right? And that's really important. You know, our fellowship together makes a big difference. Right? We're able to help each other and recognize things together and accomplish a lot together. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And as they spake to the people," so they started teaching the people once they came together and saw this miracle. They're speaking to the people. "The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, being upset that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." So they were there, you know, preaching the word for hours, right? It was about the ninth hour when they healed this guy, and now it was evening. So they were preaching the word for hours, and these captains and these Sadducees, who were not too pleased with what they were teaching, grabbed Peter and John together and put them into hold, into like a prison, a holding cell. "Howbeit," verse 4, "many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about what? 5,000. Holy smokes. Right? So obviously this witness of this healed lame man produced great fruit. About 5,000 men believed that day because of the things that Peter and John taught. "And it came to pass on the morrow," so now it's the next day, they're in the holding cell overnight, "that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst," Peter and John, "they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders," right, "who is despised by you guys, which is become the head of the corner." Right? So it's a figure of speech basically saying, this was the stone that you guys despised and didn't want to hear or do anything with. And now he's become the most important, the head of the corner, the foundation upon which everything else is built. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so he's preaching to these guys too. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." Right? These were just ordinary Joes. Right? Peter was a fisherman. These aren't scholars. These weren't lawyers. These weren't Pharisees or scribes. But here they were speaking how? Boldly. Boldly. Because they were together. And because they were taking a stand. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." So they brought this guy in, you know, to say, "Well, why did you heal this guy?" And then they looked at him and they were like, "Well, we can't really deny that this is the guy that used to sit out there every day and ask for alms. I mean, it's that guy." They could say nothing against it. "But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. What are we going to do about this? We can't claim this didn't happen. Everybody saw it happen. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So that was their decision. Make sure this doesn't go any further. We're going to threaten them so that they stop talking. "And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John," again, they were together, "answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye." You know, You decide whether it's more important that we listen to you or to God. That's your call. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Right? They had no choice but to let them go. If they beat him up or anything, the people were going to have something to say about it. For the man was above 40 years old on which this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Right? And that's a really cool thing too. When they were let go, they got delivered. Right? They got deliverance. They were let go. And they went back and they told people about it. They reported back about the good things that God had done for them. Right? That's something that we should do together. We should praise God together. We should let each other know what God's done for us. That helps to build our believing too. And when they heard that, so the folks they told heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Right? And so they prayed together after that. And what they prayed for was for more boldness to speak the word. And as they were speaking the word, that God would back it up with signs and wonders. That's what they prayed for. They just got threatened and told never to speak about it again. But they stood together and they prayed for more boldness to do it. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Right? And so that spirit was fired up in them. Right? And they continued to speak the word with boldness. And they did it together. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Right? So the people, they went and they spoke the word some more, and more people believed. The multitude of them that believed. And they were all like-minded. There was a togetherness. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace or favor was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had what? Need. Right? And so that was the blueprint. They continued to move the word together. They fellowshiped together. Once they heard about it, that was it for them. They were unified on that word. They were ready to speak it and move it and hold it forth. They didn't care about the stuff anymore, right? They sold it so that they would just be able to take care of each other and have what they needed and be able to take care of those that had a need. So they took a stand together. They reported on the deliverance together. They praised God together. They prayed and got answered prayers together. And they shared what they had together. And all throughout that, the word of God moved, right? The word of God moved as they did those things. So that togetherness is so vitally important to what we do as a body of believers and what we accomplish together. And it's how we move the word successfully in this world and in this life. And lots of people need to hear it. Lots of people need to get that deliverance, right? And we can do that together.